Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cynical Series, and this is the Divine Will ebook series, where we take a methodical review of Reverend Father Joseph Leo Annuzzi's doctoral dissertation, which has ecclesiastical commendation. And we're going to do that shortly, but first we're going to begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most Holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary Invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more, the spirit of faith, hope, and love, the spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it's a joy to come together. Grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. And I'm going to bring in Maureen. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Peter. Hi, everybody.
Sorry we ran another minute late. I was asleep at the wheel once again. If I keep doing this, I'm going to lose my license. Maureen, we toggle back and forth, you know, between the Crossing the Exile series and all the other beautiful talks. And now we come to the ebook series and we recognize the situation with the church, which is not dismal at all with regards to their approach to Luisa's writings. In fact, they're probably doing now what you know, perhaps should have been done before. But again, they couldn't recognize that until they got to this juncture. So they found ambiguity, certain things that they were unable to explain based on what they're understanding. And Jesus knew this. He said in the writings, he says, well, at first glance, they're going to look at this from a human perspective and they're going to be confused. In fact, he even tells us, I don't know if I have the quote, second day in a row, I don't have the quote, but he tells us, I think it's in volume 17, maybe, where you have that caption at the end of the, or beneath the date of the passage. And this one says, the errors contained in these writings that will do good. And when I first looked at that, I started to chuckle because, you know, all we hear, rightfully so and truthfully, is that there are no errors in these writings. And that's true. But Jesus goes on to explain that, again, I'll try to do the best I can paraphrasing. I'll come close. I promise you that. He says, at first glance, they will see what appears to be errors. And then upon a thorough review, they will know the truth, end quote. So it's really pretty much exactly where we are right now, because Father Annuzzi had identified a couple things that the Vatican could be doing better to better understand this gift. And one of which he articulated on Radio Maria was the fact that the Vatican is looking at the passages, and they're taking certain lines from the passages and trying to make sense of it, trying to put it into a full package. And that's pretty much, we found that out quickly. That's pretty much impossible. And Jesus says that also. So when Jesus says, well, at first glance, perfectly, okay, if they're looking at just a snippet, that makes sense. But then Jesus also says, but after further review, well, Father Annuzzi is going to recommend that they read it from the beginning to the end. That way they get the full context, the full breadth, the full bouquet of the understanding of what's written, and then they will find the truth. And we know this because we've spoken about this too with a chuckle or two. I can imagine meeting someone for the first time and saying, you know, the divine will is greater than the Eucharist. If they're a good Catholic, they're going to run away from you. I mean, that's what they're going to do. That's what we should do. But again, you'd have to understand the context. I mean, we throw it out there because we've been around the block a couple of times. We understand what he means by that. You know, the perennial communion is greater than the 15 or 20 minute communion. Again, this is not a challenge of who's greater, God versus God. No, it's what is greater. Again, a perennial communion or a limited communion. Of course, we know the perennial is. So again, it makes perfect sense. And that's what the ebook series is so important, because again, we don't know when this critical edition is going to be generated. Now, we know for a fact that there are no errors, Maureen, because the typical edition has already been generated, and that could never be generated. That's when they would find errors, and they didn't find that. And you know, it's really what I did find, which is pretty astonishing today. You know, one quote, Maureen, I think you're tired of hearing me say it.
No, but I like to hear it because then I can memorize it.
Well, you'll memorize, I have in front of me. But The Son of My Will, the biography written by the Vatican, actually published by the Vatican Publishing Company. And it's the biography of Luisa. And in the conclusion, in the back of the book on page 220, it states, again, in the conclusion published by the Vatican, it states this, quote, "Here is what clearly appears. This living in the divine will of Jesus is the greatest gift that he wants to give to people. It is an overflow of his mercy because it is his nature to want to splurge even more of his love." That's what it says in the conclusion. And then if we look at the first line in volume 17, September 18th, 1924, this is Jesus speaking, quote, "This living in my will is the greatest gift that I want to give to my creatures. My goodness wants to pour itself out in love more and more towards my creatures, end quote. So there it is, not just from the words of the author of the book, but from Jesus, who we rely on with 100% truth. So it is the greatest gift that he wants to give. It's the greatest gift that he has given. And like Father Inez, he also articulated, it's the greatest gift that God can give. And that's the greatest, I think, delineation, because the word "can" means it's above all. It's everything that he can give, because he's giving all of himself. And if you think about that, you know, Maureen, we can douse the flames for, you know, looking around for something greater or chasing butterflies. Again, we can do our devotions. We can visit our shrines if that's what we wish to do. But again, there's nothing out there that's going to be greater than what he has given, because it's all here. It's the fullness of God. So I think that's a breath of fresh air. I think that takes a lot of pressure off each and every one of us. You know, no more searching, no more chasing butterflies. It's here, and it's for everyone. Jesus says it's for everyone. He said he had to make this easy and accessible to all in all situations, in all circumstances, and in all places. So again, it's not something we have to find. So like Jesus tells Luisa, why are you looking over there for me? Look from within yourself. That's the quickest way and the surest way to find me, because I'm there. I'm always there. Whether you can hear me, feel me, or touch me, I'm there. And I think that's great admonition to us. So we really have nothing to fear. This is a matter of time. Whenever God's permissible will allows the Vatican to give its final stamps, to give the critical edition to the world, I have to believe some of this faith that we're journeying in right now is going to be converted to obedience. And Jesus says, faith is God. Faith is what he looks for. That faith in scripture was everything that he told those who were healed. It's your faith that's healed you. So again, we have a great opportunity, a wonderful opportunity, even in the midst of something that looks bad at first. Why it's taken so long, it's taken three times longer than most saints. Well, if you think about it, God has done so much more through Luisa, what he's given her, than anyone else. So of course it's going to take more time. Any thoughts on that? Anything that I could have said better?
Oh, no. I had something, but I forgot what it was.
Because I spoke too much.
Well, no, then you went to another subject and it wasn't the thing I was going to talk about. So I forget. It might come back to me.
Okay. What was it about the greatest gift that he can give or can give?
But it's gone out of my head.
Okay.
Gone out of my head totally.
So maybe you know, subtly just hit yourself in the back.
I remember it was about the pathways.
Okay.
And how our pathways are holy pathways. They're not just and so not to be offended if someone says, well, this is more important than that. And people get like, well, yeah, but this is, yeah, it's all holy and good, but it's all leading to the great, like what you say, this is the greatest. And so you need a little bit of humility to even begin the journey, because you have to say that what was your whole world, your whole spiritual, what you spent all your spirituality, your time on reading and all that, that was a pathway to something greater. And some people can't let go of that, because you really do need humility to move on to the next step, to leave what you were doing. You know, like, well, Catherine of Siena, she did everything for me, and she made me convert and all this stuff. Like, I love Catherine of Siena. I
And
loved
that's
all her
probably
books.
true for
Yeah,
many.
right. So, but you have to move on to the divine will, and then maybe go back and read Catherine of Siena in the divine will. But you have to move on. You have to take a step into this to learn it, to appreciate it, and to be able to be an outlet for Jesus's love. Like Catherine of Siena's books can't do that. Catherine of Siena wasn't in the divine will. I love Catherine of Siena. We need her now. But
But her books can lead us to the divine will,
yes, it's a
which they
pathway. They're
have.
all pathways. Everything's a pathways. I went to Medjugorje seven times. They were pathways. They were pathways. That was a pathway the Blessed Mother used for me to be ready to read these volumes, or to be open to the divine will. That was my pathway, you know. So everybody has their own pathway. And Mary Movement of Priests, I heard that he's up for beatification. So
That's what I heard.
that's other people's pathway. They're all good. They were all given to us
That's
by
where my wife and
God.
I started through the Mary Movement of Priests.
Yeah, all given to us by God. And the neat thing is, we're all journeying to the same point.
That's it. That's
So
it.
it's bringing us all together into the same camp. And that's where we'll be more effective, a greater army, a greater offense against the evil one, is when we're all together.
You couldn't have said that better. We're all trickles of water trying to make our way
Yeah.
back to the river, back to the sea. And God's been keeping us. I mean, he's given us the substance to be here. He wakes us up every day through the divine will, which beats our heart, breathes our lungs, flows our blood, right? If God had taken everything away from Adam, we would have ceased. He would have ceased to exist, and we wouldn't be here. So God gave us the opportunity for redemption, now for sanctification, and ultimately to return to his bosom and to be with him for all of eternity. That's the goal. But yeah, those pathways are very important. God gives us Jesus gives us a couple examples that really create great visuals. I mean, he talks about think about a city. Think about New York City, for example, and you want to explore New York City. How can you do it without roads and without pathways? He says, that's what the divine will is doing. It's establishing, and that's what we're doing through our acts and rounds. We're allowing God to establish these pathways for all souls to find this divine will. We don't know where it is. God is directing us. This is nothing we earned. We talked about this. This is a gift, total gift. But once we're given the gift, that's when God says, okay, I've given you the gift. I've given you the importance of it. Let's see, how much do you want it? How much are you going to work at this? And again, he's only going to ask us to do commensurate to what we can do based on our other responsibilities. He's given us everything in our lives. He wrote our book. And he loves us so much, he gave us editing capability. But I know in my life, every time I've tried to edit his book, I've been a dismal failure. So, we ought to just stick to the script, as they say. And like we learned that one of the greatest lessons, don't take our gaze off God. Peter fell, he sank in the water when he took his eyes off God. And Adam too, when he forgot about God's love for him and for having the totality of everything that God wanted to give him. So again, we have all these things, Maureen, that have gone, all these souls, beautiful souls that have gone before us that we can learn from, some what to do and others what not to repeat. And poor Adam and Eve, they had no one that went before them that either succeeded or failed. And they couldn't say, okay, well, I'm not going to make that same mistake. They didn't. So again, they were tricked and they were deceived. We know from Father Nuzzi's version that Eve was basically fed doubt. Said, did God tell you that you cannot eat the fruit of this tree? And technically, God did not tell Eve. All accounts are that God told Adam. So he asked the rhetorical question, tried to use this leverage and plant that seed of doubt. And then, of course, we know at the end of the story. So it's all here for us. And it's also here, this cog. this cog mentality that Jesus explains. I'm not going to go into it now because we don't have time, but I think it's articulated perfectly in volume 6, February 2nd, 1924, when he talks about what is he doing now? Why is he calling this small group? He says there'll be very few in the beginning. Why us? And he also explains that to, I don't have that passage, why he takes the lowly. He says it's just easier. They're not filled with everything. It's not, they don't have all those objections and rejections and analytical perspectives. Yes, we have to test everything. God calls us to do that, use our intellect. But we have to give, we have to give the benefit of the doubt to God, and we have to be there for him because, again, he's giving us everything, but he's not going to force us. He's never going to invalidate that free will. So it's all here. But the cog is really interesting. We've got this beautiful little analogy here that, this is, it's not really working right now, is it? Oh, there it goes. This is the way it was working when Adam and Eve were in perfect union. And all of a sudden, Adam sinned. It stopped. Well, actually, God didn't stop, but Adam here, this sort of disengaged, so to speak. And then that's where we were. So again, it's all here in volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. Archbishop Pacheri asks us, anyone who's reading the Divine Will, to have a priest available for any theological questions they may have. This does not mean do not meet, do not gather, do not talk about, do not discuss, do not journey the Divine Will without a priest. That's not what it says here. It says when you come to that fork in the road, when you've got a theological question, instead of taking a guess, like male drivers and taking the wrong route, we want to make sure, because again, that route is going to cause a loss of valuable time if we're taking the wrong route. So be guided by a priest. And, any priest can give us a theological answer to a question, a theological question. We're not talking, he was very specific. He didn't say divine will questions. Because again, how can I ask a divine will question to a priest who knows nothing about the divine will, or even some that do not want to know anything about the divine will? It's impossible. But a theological question, yes, that can be achieved, again, through anyone. And if you don't have a priest, you can always filter the question in here. We'll get an answer for you through someone.
I was listening the other day. It just popped up on the internet. It was Father Inuzzi, and he was getting calls from all over the world. Ladies in Louisiana, in Connecticut, some people from Australia, some people from Italy. It was just so neat because all these people are calling in and asking him questions. He's answering them, and then the next one would come on, and I said, "Isn't this neat? It's a symbol of all the children of the world coming to the Father Inuzzi, and asking him, and he would give them quick, concise answers, and they were probably questions that everybody that was listening may have." They're frequently the same question when you're learning. What book do I start with? What does this mean? I said, this is so great.
Oh, it is. And I actually missed those Q&A sessions we used to have. They were very good. And again, also, if you go to Father Newsy's website, livingthedivinewill.org, I think it is, he has a Q&A page. And a lot of those, there's like 30 questions there, 35, and he rotates them. And a lot of times, your questions will be answered there before you even have to reach out to someone for it. There are questions. And again, you can be confident in the answer that you're receiving with respect to the divine will or a theological question.
And that reminds me, in the volumes, Louisa, I remember giggling to myself because I thought when she was asking you read the volumes and she asks all these questions. And I remember thinking, gosh, she's asking a question I could even answer, and I'm just starting this. I thought it was kind of funny. And then you realize Jesus tells her at the end, what does he say? He made her ask
never
these
had
questions.
Doubts. Yeah. He never had doubts, yeah. You were asking rhetorical questions so that we may get the answers before
for the
we
readers,
ask them.
Right, yeah. For the readers, for us. Yeah. So he's always thinking about us, like we're involved in this book. Yeah. He's writing these things for us to read. It's not like some princess on a hill somewhere. You know what I mean? This is for us to read, and he's already answering our questions before we even ask them. It's really something.
I mean, there's a huge similarity. You mentioned that God, constantly reaching out, constantly wanting each and every one of us, thinking of us before anything else. Louisa did the same thing. Whenever Jesus would endow her with something, she would say, well, what about everyone else? I mean, she was always looking out for other souls. In fact, she would rather give. She was like the kind of woman that, if there were a group of people and there was a limited amount of water and it was her turn to drink, she would actually pass up and give it to someone else. I mean, it's extraordinary, the sacrifice. And again, when you sacrifice something, as Jesus tells us, it's the epitome of love. And I have that quote, but I can't find that either. I'm going to get organized one of these days. Because so again, all these things are here. Oh, and I know one thing I wanted to mention also, that I think that's important. When you mentioned about we can't get bogged down, we can't stand still. The church has to keep moving because it hasn't fulfilled its obligation, which is to bring us back to the order, the place, and the purpose. Jesus explains that as he says, everything was done for the purpose, for the primary purpose of bringing us back. But he gave us an example of that. Don't stay there in the hours of the passion. I think it was the hour six, maybe, where Louisa was just so enamored. She goes, oh, geez, I can just stay here forever. And he says, nope, come on, move on. There's much more I have to give you. Same thing he's telling us, same thing he's telling our church. And again, it's all evolving and it's all the explication. You know, really, if you think about it, two great articles in our catechism that you may want to think about, read, or even memorize, because it's a great apologetic also when we're faced with situations where someone may say, oh, nothing new, you know, this can't be possible. Article 66 and Article 67, we've mentioned those before. If you actually look on our website, well, you can't look on our website now. Oh, by the way, our website. We hope to have the website up and running very, very shortly. Pray that's quicker. I wish it was up by now, but we're doing our best on that. But when it is up, you'll find a page there called Catechism of the Catholic Church and the Divine Will. And you'll find about 35, 40 entries of the Catechism, which really paves the way and solidifies and cements the divine will in the church. I mean, the church is poised. The church has everything available to it to accept this gift. They're just doing the final due diligence, which they have to do. And what is God doing? He allows this error at first sight, which is really not an error, so that they may go back and study it even more thoroughly. And now they will be convinced. So again, this going back, if they were not confused by certain things, they probably wouldn't go back, just like us. We wouldn't have to go back, but going back is a good thing because there's so much here. What wasn't taught the first time around will be taught the second time around. You know this, Maureen, more than anything else, right? We read the same passage every, you can read it every day and you're going to get something new every day because it's alive. It's constantly, it's like watching, you know, it's this movie that just keeps running that never ends. And, you know, you jump in here, you're seeing hour one, you go out again, you come back, you're not at the same spot, you're at hour two. So God's constantly feeding us something. And we're really, we are exactly where we would hope to be with God's gift and this divine will being on our doorstep. And it's not, again, this is not down the road. This is here. This is available right now. In fact, Father says, I knew seen it as a book, Splendor of Creation. This, to enter the divine will, it's available to anyone in the state of grace can receive this gift. Even if you don't have knowledge of Louisa, because it's a mystical gift. If we said, oh, only if you had the book, so that I think we'd be guilty of Gnosticism, which is a heresy. You know, God can give this to anyone, and he will. But I think we can be safe to say with accuracy that if he's made these writings available to us, he's expecting us to read it. Because again, to your point, Maureen, the more we read this, the more we get enamored by it. We recognize even to a greater extent. We love God. The Baltimore Catechism, know God. How do we know God? The divine will gives us that explication of God. We hear him in the three appeals. Jesus talks his words. Yes, we have his words in scripture, but we also have the Father's words in the three appeals. It's astonishing. So everything is there. It's all for the taking. And again, God says, I'm not going to force you. But and there's no reason to get upset because we're all in this together. We're all in this together. And to your point, we're all going to, all those little channels of water, however far apart they may be, they're all going to have to come back in. Because if they don't come back in, eventually they're going to evaporate. And we don't want anything to evaporate. That's for sure.
Especially I just have this picture of all these rivers or tributaries going together. And what are they going to create? A beautiful new garden, the Garden of Eden. They're going to come and you know, create the garden again. That's what's going to happen. The garden's coming back. It's going to be the way Jesus wanted us to be, so we could walk and talk with him in the cool of the evening. He would be inside of us. We don't have to go anywhere to find him. We don't have to. We need nothing. He comes and enters into us, and we're with him. Right. I mean, it's almost hard to even fathom it, but he says it's coming, so it is coming. Whether we understand it or not doesn't matter. We just, with our heart, follow Jesus with our heart, and it's coming. And you know what? So if we're not here when it reaches its fullness, it's an honor just to be here to work for it, just to
Absolutely.
be here and help it descend, or help the kingdom come. It's an honor, and it's
Absolutely.
amazing.
I mean, crossing the exile through the desert, if you have that visual, God has created an oasis and he's made it visible to very few in the beginning, but this will be available and visible to everyone. I mean, it's available now to everyone, but it'll be visible to everyone in a matter of time. And then, of course, then we'll have that opportunity to say yay or nay. Again, our job is to be cheerleaders, to try to bring the substance. I mean, we can't do anything other than repeat what God's given us or try to articulate it. Yes, we can give our perspective on things, but bottom line is we just want to get it out. What has he said? What has she said? I mean, there are so many things here, and I'm perfectly honest with you, there are things I read in passages and I'm saying, I don't even think I've ever read that before. And what a loss. I mean, for him, I mean, when I saw this, the living in my will is the greatest. I mean, just to be able to connect, this is a great game of connect the dots. And once we do it, we have more confidence that everything here is aligned. I mean, we're the only ones that are misaligned or maligned, but everything's aligned. Everything is perfect. And like Jesus says too, everything is still the way it was, except for humanity. We're the only ones that got kicked out of the playground. So God says, come on back in. Couple rules, not many, but there's a couple rules. Well, rule number one is we're on 6.1.5.2, the Son of God's subsistence in two substances. We're still up, finishing up footnote number 105, Maureen. So I'll leave it to your decision. Do you think we need to read up to 105 and just jump to the footnote?
Let's just jump.
Okay, that's what I was thinking, but I didn't want to make that call. Maureen's in charge. Okay, that's 105. And I have a date here also that I put. Okay, getting close. We're moving on up. There's so much great stuff here. I mean, I look back and what we covered 3 weeks ago, and I said, wow, I can cover it all over again. Okay, today is 3:12, right? I mean, 4:12. Okay, great. We can start. We don't have to read the red. We did that last week, but I'll bring the pointer out so I can keep up with you, Maureen. And I think I've got some stops here. Yeah, okay.
My daughter, the moment of death is the time of disillusionment. In that moment, all things present themselves, one after the other, to say to the human creature, goodbye. The earth is over for you. Now begins eternity. The soul undergoes an experience similar to that of being closed within a room with someone telling it, behind this room, there's another room where there is God, heaven, purgatory, hell, in a word, eternity. But the soul cannot see any of these realities. It hears such things being described by others. Thus, their words come across in such a way the soul is free not to believe them. That is, the soul may not place any great importance on believing with certainty what the others have described.
Yeah. Now, if you recall, we did read this paragraph, but I think it was just necessary before we continue. We talked about the Article 66. Okay. We're getting a little bit more of a glimpse of the final battle at the last moment of our death, the battle for our soul. We knew it was present. But again, we're getting a little bit more flavor on it. Goodbye. The earth is over for you. Now eternity begins. The soul goes a similar experience to, again, being closed in a room. And behind the door, and I also I have a silly analogy to that too. It's like that show I grew up with called "Let's Make a Deal." You couldn't see what's behind these doors, but you had a choice. We have to use our natural intelligence, which is intuition, insight, and prudence. We hear a lot about artificial intelligence today, AI, and that's a scary thought because yes, it could be helpful in some instances, but think about this too. Artificial intelligence will only be able to provide you what is put into it. And again, we're talking about something that does not possess a soul. Now, we possess something called, maybe we'll call it natural intelligence. Now, this is not theological, but and natural intelligence is that aura that God placed in our soul to know right from wrong, even though that's been skewed for some. Again, intuition, insight, and prudence. We need to use that. And then if we're in that silly game of let's make a deal, we're going to recognize through the grace of God which door to select, where to go, what to do. I mean, God disposes the places we go, the people we meet. He's done it all our lives. And even his permissible will has allowed some pretty negative situations. Well, situations that appeared to be negative to occur in our lives. But if we look back, honestly, if that permissible will of God did not allow that event, we probably wouldn't be here today. So everything is for a reason. That's why when something doesn't look so good, you say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to make a greater good out of this, but I know you will. And he guarantees he's going to do it. So he loves every one of us. He wants us with him. That's the bottom line. We're the ones that go kicking and screaming with him. We have to just say, okay, take me. And I think that's part of our fiat. It's all here. Okay, if you don't have anything to add to that, Maureen, we can continue.
No. Okay.
Okay.
When my weak nature could not take any more, adorable Jesus came back in the act of wanting to speak with me. And I, remembering the obedience which wants to reign over all, immediately said to him, "My dear life, I cannot speak. Please do not come, for obedience does not want it. If you want to make your will understood, go to them."
I remember when she was faced with this, she couldn't see Jesus. She couldn't call Jesus. She was really stuck because she knew. And even sometimes she was getting advice from a spiritual director that was contrary to what Jesus said. And what would Jesus say? Do as he says. I'll take care of him. I mean, that's really difficult. That's really difficult. And I think now I understand better when Father Brown, John Olin Brown, visited Mary's Hill, he came with a message from several messages from the bishop, and one of which was to keep these cenacles in the home. I mean, of course, if the church opens their doors for us and opens their arms, of course, that's where we want to be. We want to be in every church. But I guess sort of don't force it. Gather in your homes. Journey there. No one can stop you there. I mean, if you're in a church, you're subject to, I mean, if a pastor says no more divine will, there's no more divine will. And if that pastor is your spiritual director and your spiritual, and if he tells you don't read that anymore, only because he doesn't understand it or hasn't read it, what are you going to do? Are you going to be obedient? Are you going to be put in this situation? Okay, I'll give it up. My pastor wants this. My Lord wants this. Yeah, I don't even want to go there right now, but I think that's, we want to try to avoid those situations. And I think that's Jesus telling us here through Luisa's obedience factor. It was very tough for Luisa. She knew that it was God to be followed, not man. But again, she had to listen to both sides, which to her didn't make any sense. But she did it anyway, which was beautiful.
You could really talk yourself out of being listening to obedience, couldn't you? Well, Jesus wants this, so I have to go with Jesus. But she didn't. I mean, I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, no, it is. That takes I mean, I don't know if I can do that. Honestly, I don't know. I would need the grace of God to do that. If my spiritual director told me you could not read the divine will anymore, knowing that Jesus says this must be known to you and so that others may know. I mean, just, I do believe he would take care of all, everything, but gosh, what a void that would leave. I mean, I'd be despondent if I didn't have the divine will. I mean, you know, with everything that's going on in the world and just, you know, situations that occur from time to time that always test us. But yeah, so again, that's why maybe that's why the Archbishop said, gather in your home. No one can direct your home. No one can tell you to stop meeting in your home, at least not yet.
I had a rosary group that met for years, and I started reading the Divine Will, and I didn't push it on them or anything. But I knew, I felt like the Lord was saying, just be patient, just be patient. And now it's a divine will cynical. So little by little, they all came, they wanted it. They asked, you know, I mean, I kind of figured who would want it, and they eventually did. And so now we meet and we read, you know, and Our Lady bought them here. Our Lady, it was all Our Lady. So now we just read real slow, just read the volumes. And, you know, we pray too. We do the divine will prayers, the litanies, and they're beautiful.
But see, in retrospect, if you had given more information, it may have actually caused people to move away from it.
Yeah, and it has to be done gently, gently.
I have a perfect example. I'll go back to October 13th, 2014. When we got done with our day's activities, we're sitting at the coffee table, and a beautiful soul by the name of Deacon John Thompson, who, by the way, is Maureen's father, just stood up and said, "Hey, has anyone ever heard of Louisa Picaretta and the Divine Will?" And we basically said, "No, Deacon, no, have more coffee." I mean, we didn't say, actually say that to him, but we didn't take much credence because no one had heard of her or the Divine Will for that matter. But he told us a few things, just a few. I don't even remember what he said, but just enough to whet our appetite, but not enough to say, nah, no thanks. So when everyone dispersed, I remember my wife and I sitting down and said, okay, let's just check out this Louisa Picaretta, what Deacon said. And I kid you not, without exaggerating, it took about 10 minutes, and we're side by side with computers. We looked at each other and said, this is it. This is everything we've been looking for. I mean, because we never really joined any prayer groups, and we would always go. We'd always attend, but as like a visitor, we'd always have people over the house, but we didn't really have a group per se. We said, this is it. This is everything. So again, if your dad had given us more information, perhaps we wouldn't have searched that night. If he had given us no information, of course, we know that that we wouldn't have had the wherewithal. And again, how did he get here? Well, we were doing other things, not the divine will. And although we were not doing those things now, if we weren't doing those things then, your dad wouldn't have been here. So see how everything works out. So wherever we are right now, the divine will be brought to us. God is just waiting for us to hang on. It's just like that picture. He's putting his arm down to grab us and to bring us up. And that's exactly what he's doing to each and one of us. But we have to grab on. That's all we have to do. And our fiat, I think, is that clinching of the arm of Jesus, and that beautiful, I think actually that portrait, I think, is supposed to emulate, I think, God taking Adam out of his fall. I think that I'm not sure though, but yeah, we're all here, and it's all a matter of time. And to your point, Maureen, it'll happen. It'll happen in God's time. We want it right now. It'll all happen in God's time. Plant the seed, God will water. Visit it once in a while. You may have to just put some dirt on it. That's all you need to do. And that's all we're doing. We're cheerleaders.
I have to tell you something that happened today. So we have a cenacle that meets in the morning, and it's from all over there's ladies from all over the country, literally California, Florida, all over. I don't even know them. I don't even know what they look like because it's blacked out on the computer. But we've been meeting since COVID. So there's a little lady, Dorothea. You know Dorothea,
Well,
theater. Yeah.
she's a
So
sweetheart.
little Dorothea works at a shrine, and down in Florida. And she's been in the Divine Will for years. Well, one of the ladies from Jacksonville said to us, I have to share a beautiful thing that happened the other day. Our bishop took the Blessed Sacrament in procession to the worst abortion clinic in the state or in their city. And we prayed in front of the abortion clinic with the Blessed Sacrament very peacefully. We prayed a rosary and we left. It was so beautiful and so peaceful. So little Dorothea, who's not even from Jacksonville, says, oh, was his name by any chance such and such? I don't remember his name. And she said, yes. She says, oh, I gave him the Hours of the Passion in Father Ryan Newsy's book about a month ago. So there you go. I mean, things are ha so many good things are happening, and as we're hearing all the bad things about the bishops and this and that and the other thing, there's an
Yeah.
underground
Oh,
happening that is
we've heard some bad things, that's for sure. But
but
you're
there's
right.
good stuff that's happening, and I think it's an
Incredible.
underground divine will network. It's happening, and I think it's in the clergy. I really do. I think they're reading. They can't come out and talk about it because they're busy. But I think the Hours of the Passion, she says, and by the way, I need a couple more cases because she gives them out by the case down there to the priests, the bishops, and the seminarians, and they all take them.
No,
She's all 4'10",
oh
you know? So.
but she's amazing. The things she used to do in her life that that big men used to do, and here's this little, and she does everything.
A
Yeah, I
lot of good
mean,
happening.
there is, and there's a lot of stuff that we don't make public. I mean, we've got small cenacles in small places: Guam, Taiwan, Hong Kong, China, Cyprus, Greece. I
Oh
mean,
my
little things.
gosh.
Just small, very small. And again, just one or two, that's all you need. When one or two are gathered here, I'm with you. I'm
And
in
they
your
look like
midst.
they're doing nothing, like they're doing bother doing everything, right?
Exactly. Again, What did Jesus say about the hours of the Passion? If one soul in
Yeah.
every city would pray the hours of the Passion, that city would be spared. Do
What's that tell you?
we believe that? And if we believe
Yeah,
that,
I don't
then
think the hours of the Passion are just for Lent. You know,
no.
during Lent they have all these the clocks, which are beautiful, but we should be when you read that the front of that book, you say, well, I got to do this more than just during Lent, especially now.
Yeah, I think we mentioned that on Wednesday. Read
Yeah,
the
we did.
introduction to the Passion, and that's the motivation, really. And even with that, I still, I'll be honest with you, I have difficulty sometimes. I have a brain freeze. I don't remember it.
Well, Peter, you're doing a little bit of work
Well, yeah,
there.
I'm still no excuse though, because it's that vital. In fact, even Father Nuzzi said, one question in one of the Q&A sessions, this woman said, Father, I have very little time. I've got elderly parents I take care of. I've got a handicapped child I take care of. I'm working. I mean, she had a day like she would need 40 hours for. And she said, I have very little time. What would you suggest? What's the best method for me to grow in the divine will as quickly as I can? Again, not rushing God, but just how can I do this most effectively? And he suggested, if you have very little time, go through the hours of the Passion, because it's making the most substantial difference, because you're actually remediating the pains and sharing in the pains and sufferings of our Lord, not just metaphorically, but actually, mystically. He says that's the greatest way to get penetration in the shortest amount of time.
Wow.
So again, that said a lot. That said a lot. So again, it's all here. It's beautiful. How are you on time, Maureen?
Good. I'm good.
Okay, we'll tackle the next paragraph.
Okay. While I was saying this, I saw the confessor, and Jesus, drawing near him, told me, "This is impossible for my souls. I keep them so immersed in me as to form one single substance, so much so that it is no longer possible to distinguish one from the other. It is like when two substances are mixed together, one transfuses itself into the other, and afterwards, if anyone wanted to separate them, it would be useless even just to think about it. In the same way, it is impossible that my souls be separated from me." Having said this, he left, and I remained in my affliction, greater than before. My heart was beating so very strongly that I felt my chest crack.
Now, that's a paragraph that doesn't have a lot of things that maybe right away jump out at you, but there's a whole lot there that God is explaining to us in not so much detail. Again, we're talking about this obedience. He also gives us this great lesson about the mixing. This is a chemistry or physics or lesson that, when two elements come together and they're combined, the greater the two will be the one that prevails. The other one is absorbed by it. And I guess similarly, you can think about, the drop of water placed in the chalice of wine, it becomes wine. And again, as he says, try to take the water out of that wine only. It's impossible because it's fused. But the wine didn't become water; the water became wine. So again, we fuse with our Lord. It's our Lord that prevails. And we get absorbed into him. And then again, he talks about, in the same way it's impossible that my souls be separated from me. He gives this analogy also and explanation in a few other passages when he talks about how we will get to a stage, hopefully, where we will be in the divine will for good. We will not be able to exit, even though we are able to exit, if that makes any sense. He doesn't invalidate our free will. Our free will says we can exit if we want to, but we'd be so smothered, not prevented, but we'd be so comforted, so sure that we have everything. Again, the restlessness of the soul that Saint Augustine talks about, that can only be cured by that union back again with God. That's exactly what he does. Where we're inundated with love to the point where we're sent into a delirious state. And we can still think properly, we can still think clearly, but there's nothing to aspire for, just like this divine will. In heaven, souls are 100% happy. But there are different containers. There are 12-ounce containers, 16. Again, we know this based on what we do here. We bind here, we bind in heaven. And then, of course, the accidental glory can add to that, which we all want to do for each and every one of our blessed souls that are in heaven. And for us too, hopefully when we get there. But there's so many things here to talk about. And again, can we explain it? Of course not. But God will. Ponder this, take this to the meditation to the best of your ability. At least one strategy that I've tried to do. And then pray for God to grant us the gift of contemplation. Because contemplation takes over where our limited meditation ends. Because contemplation is infinite. That's because we're in the realm of God. But meditation, we're using our intellect, our memory, and our will to get to that point. But through contemplation, God will speak volumes about just this one paragraph. And he's going to speak a little differently to each and every one of us so that it's understood. Because the way I understand it is probably a crazy way. And maybe no one's going to understand it the way I do, even if I understand it, to that whatever degree. So again, God and his Blessed Mother are the ultimate teachers. We're all cheerleaders, some better than others, but it doesn't matter. We're all in this together. And I think we can all share from what we, I mean, test everything, of course, because there are some things that are not divine will or not Catholic. But I'm saying everyone has something to contribute. And take what's good and leave the rest, or take what resonates with you and leave the rest. We should never say no to someone without giving them an opportunity, because who are we to say if they haven't been called to share something or to stimulate something in us or to help someone? Again, we read that the Mary's Hill prayer that for those souls entrusted to us. God is looking for us to do some introduction to some souls. We may not even know who the souls are. So the more we know, the more encouragement we'll have from God, the more confidence we'll have in ourselves to do it. And then we'll do something like this, where it looks like maybe no one's listening, but it doesn't matter. One soul is all it takes. St. James says, if you help one soul, that's all that matters. We're in this together. We're in this together. Think we're out of time. Last thoughts, Maureen. Because I have a quick thought I want to throw in.
No, I don't have anything to say. I'm sorry.
Well, you do, but you're just afraid it's going to take too long because you've got so much to say. I'm going to end it with this then. This is what I thought about today when I was reading over this material a little bit because I was babysitting today. It was a tough
Oh
day.
gosh.
Yeah, it was a great day. It was a tough day. We all have the ability to do good. We all have the ability to change the world, especially now with the divine will. We're not doing it, but God is doing it. We're triggering through our fiat. But what we can do is we can look at the way the world used to be. Let's just, I mean, I'm just going back to my growing up. I mean, it looked like there was no problems. And maybe because I was a child, but we didn't have half the problems or three-quarters of the problems we do today, that are really, really serious problems. So to go back to that, I'm not saying go back to the little house on the prairie, but go back to where the family was intact. There was a nuclear family. There was love in the family. The family was Christian. They were Catholic. They were praying the rosary. They were saying grace before meals. We can return that. The little family of Nazareth, we're all called to do. And even if we do it in our own house, and we're the only house on the block that does it, it doesn't matter. Because that's going to enchant God. And he's going to give others the grace that we received also to do the same. We didn't wake up one day and say, I'm going to do this. We can't figure out, I mean, I can't figure out anything. I have to be guided. And hopefully I'm guided by God and no one else. But we can all do that. And we can start today or tomorrow morning. Just having that peace, that tranquility, even if all heck is breaking loose outside, we can help our house one family at a time. And I think this will spread faster than any nefarious disease that's given to any of us, because God's going to be doing all the work. He just wants us to initiate, take that first step. So I think that's what my plan is, hopefully, for the rest of this year, is to try to get that family of Nazareth, that wholesomeness back to the family as best I can. Now, I'm probably not going to succeed 100%, but at least I can make a dent, hopefully. And again, we pray for God's grace to. Again, grace anticipates the soul. So if God knows we're doing that, I have to think he'll be pleased. And I think he'll also, I have to think he's going to give us what's needed just before we need it.
Yeah, he already
That's
knows the good
the
things.
reading.
He already knows the good things you're going to do, Peter, before you even do them, and he's already getting you ready to do them.
All of
He's
us, yeah,
already, yeah, he knows. He's
that's right,
it's his plan, and he says, "All right, I wonder what he's going to have you do, Peter. You're doing an awful lot
no, well, we all are, again, we all have
now."
different offices,
Yeah, that's true.
so, and we all can't do the same thing, but, and we're only going to do this until, it's like standing in the breach where Isaiah says in scripture, we'll do so until God takes us out of the way. I mean, we're going to be
Yeah.
here for as long as he wants us to be here, or he wants us to be here. And then either someone else is going to do it, or it doesn't have to be done anymore. So again, we're all part of this communion of saints. And I think the greatest representation of the communion of saints, I think, is identified and highlighted and spotlighted in the divine will. I mean, can you imagine accidental glory? I mean, it's phenomenal to saints that are already in heaven, that are 100% happy, and God is now giving them an increase, let's say, in their container size, so they have a greater happiness. It's still 100%, but it's even to a greater extent. I mean, that's incredible. I can't get my arms around that, and I don't expect to. I remember what Pope Benedict said when he talks to the bishops. He says, "Don't try to explain everything about our faith. Certain things are really mystical; they cannot be explained. But God will explain to each and every one of us if we need to know." When we need to know it. It's all that matters. Blessed Friday, we have Mother Gabriel, Marie, and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Rule coming to us live from Maryville, Tennessee. Yes, that is Maryville. So they'll be with us at 2 o'clock on Sunday. The Adoration and Rosary will begin at 1 p.m. And again, hope to get the don't give up on the website. We'll get it up there as soon as we can. Hopefully in the next day or two. It's my hope. And just keep the faith. Pray for us. Okay. Love everyone. Thank you, Maureen. Thanks be to
Thanks,
God.
Peter. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.